I'll offer our brother John to come forward to offer to us this year's summer mission appeal.
Good afternoon, St. John's. First of all, I want to thank Father Chaz and Father Brian for asking me to come here and speak today. I love to come to St. John's because you guys have been a huge, huge part of the Lingot Project. And I'm always looking for opportunities to say thank you, and so this is my chance to do it. Some of you may remember that back in 2011, St. John's did a fundraiser to buy us a brand new vehicle. And what we got from that was a Mitsubishi L300. And so we've been driving it ever since. That thing gets used hard. It's got 100 kids, takes 4 round trips to go to church, 4 round trips to come back. 100 kids getting in and out. They slam the door a lot and they wash it every day. It's a beast. It runs like it's doing well. I checked last night. It has 131,000 miles on it, and we couldn't live without it. So for that, I want to say thank you to all of you for making that possible. As I said, I'm John Drake, and I used to be a senior officer with CMS Energy and Consumers Energy, and this was when we were building power plants and pipelines around the world, and I went to all of the locations, and everybody thinks, wow, that's really cool. You got to visit all these international places. That's really neat. But what they don't understand is that they don't build power plants and pipelines in beautiful, exotic vacation locations. They sent me to some of the nastiest places you can imagine. And while I was there, I couldn't help but notice there was always a lot of poverty, lots of poverty. And the poverty that you find in third world countries is a lot different than it is here in the U.S. For example, in the Philippines, if a kid has no food, they die. There are no social welfare safety nets. If they get sick, they die. That's the way it is. They have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. And so one day, I found myself on the island of Cebu. And, let me back up a little bit. When I'm in these locations, you know, there would be instances where children will come up and they'll tap on the window of the car and they'll go like that. Have you ever experienced that? They're begging for food. And what we don't do, or typically I guess it's human nature, is we don't make eye contact with them. And somehow I think we feel better about ourselves. If we don't see them, then maybe they don't see us and we don't feel guilty about not helping them. And that happened all the time. And that's exactly what I tried to do, was I just tried to not make eye contact. And in my travels around, I saw lots of things happening with kids, like kids living in the dump, scavenging for food. You know, if they can find some food, they'll cook it on little fires. They call that pagpag. It's really heartbreaking, the things that happen to them. I've seen children being intentionally maimed so that they can be used as begging props. It's totally heartbreaking. But you just don't, you try to not see it, if at all possible. Well, that all changed for me one day. Actually, the day was February 27th of 2002. And the mayor of Toledo City, Cebu, took me to a facility that they had in town. It was called the Lingap Center. And what it was a pig slaughterhouse. And that's exactly what it was. It was a pig slaughterhouse. They had had water supply problems, and they couldn't process pigs anymore. So what they did is they took the pigs out and they put children in. These were street children who had no place else to go. This was the end of the line for them. The place was horrible beyond your wildest imagination. It was just terribly disgusting. The only door into the building was through the kitchen, and in order to get into the kitchen door, you had to jump across an open sewer. I can't even describe how bad it was. But the day I was there, there were 26 kids living there. They were all malnourished, and I found out that the kids were not permitted to go to school because they didn't have birth certificates, or they couldn't afford uniforms. You got to have a uniform in order to learn, I guess. But worse yet, when I asked what kind of spiritual development they get, it was nothing. They weren't welcomed in the church because you don't want street beggars going down the aisles when people are praying, bothering them. Now, do you? Of course not. So they weren't even welcomed into the church. Well, I made a big mistake that day, a very, very big mistake. I made eye contact. And what I found was that those children, just like all the other children I'd seen, they were real kids. They were just like my own kids in every way. They even had names. There was Roger, Marmy, Eileen, Maritess, Gifford, Ryan. They had names. They were real kids. They had feelings. They had hopes and dreams and desires. But the big difference between those kids and my kids is that my kids have a chance to get there. These kids have no hope whatsoever. The Ling Up Center was their last chance. This was all they had. Well, there was a fellow by the name of Bob Pierce who once said, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." And I'm going to tell you, quite honestly, that day, my heart wasn't broken. It was absolutely shattered, totally shattered. I didn't know what to do. I'd seen all this stuff, but now it just hit me like a brick. So I decided, I'm going to forget this. It never happened, okay? Didn't happen. Just like I would not make an eye contact, didn't happen. So I came home. But what happened to me was that I think it was Mother Teresa who said, "God speaks in the silence of the heart, and we listen." So what would happen is that I would go to bed at night, and I would wake up, and I would be, and I would remember those little faces and those young lives with no hope, no future, and no place to go. And I would start crying. And Judy would say, "Well, what's the matter with you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just having a bad dream. We're good, you know." But it kept happening over and over. So one morning I woke up crying, and she said, "All right, what's going on?" And I said, "Well, you know, Judy, I really believe I'm being called." And it was on that day that I decided we needed to try to do something, if we could, to help those kids. So I started raising money, and St. John's helped us. And in 2006, we opened a brand new facility, which is capable of handling 100. Now we just got a new building, so 134 of some of the world's least fortunate children. All of the kids are in school, all of them. We've had over 500 children go through the center since we opened. We've had over 500. We have had 30 college graduates so far. Now bear in mind, these are street beggars. These are street children or orphan kids or abandoned, abused, whatever. They're now college graduates. We've had one master's degree. We have one young man who was at the original pig slaughterhouse, John Ryan, who graduated from the University of St. LaSalle. And LaSalle in the Philippines would be comparable to Princeton or Yale here in the U.S. It's like an Ivy League school. He was there on a full scholarship. He graduated cum laude. He's now a registered nurse, and he's been accepted into two medical schools. He's going to be a doctor. He picked one of them, the Cebu Institute of Medicine, and his classes start, his first day in class to go to med school is tomorrow. How is this possible? Really, how is it possible that street beggars can become doctors? It's only possible because we responded to God's call. And it's because of people like you. So thank you. With regard to the church, the parish priest, I had quite a chat with him, and he agreed to bring the kids into the church, and he did. Our kids are now the altar servers. Our kids are the official church choir. And the choir is very good. Now let me explain that. They are extremely good. And then let me clarify, they're extremely very good. Okay, they're really good. And they are so good that they were invited to be part of the larger choir that sang at the International Eucharistic Congress in January of 2016. Now sadly, it was the first year ever that the Pope could not attend. But there were cardinals and bishops from all over the world present. And our kids, the Ling Up kids, were in the front row. Now think about that. The outcasts in that community are now the ambassadors of goodwill to the world. How is that possible? It's only possible because of people like you and because we responded to God's call. With regard to the church, one other thing that we did is I told the parish priest if he would come to the Ling Up Center and do a mission, or a, I'm doing the mission appeal, if he would do a children's mass at least one day a month, what I would do is I would feed anybody who came, because it's a very poor area. I'll feed any kid that comes. In January of 2011, we had Father Jim Shaver was there. We had over 5,000 children there, and we fed them all. We knew it was going to be a big crowd, so we were kind of ready for it, but we weren't expecting it like that. And someone says, well, good heavens, John, and that's like the story of the loaves and the fishes. Well, yeah, pretty much. Except that in the loaves and fishes, they had 12 baskets of food left over. We were out. There was nothing left. Not anything. Well, this is a mission appeal, and I hope you will join with us. In your pew, there's an envelope like this, and if you do make a donation, as Father said, it should be made out to St. John's Parish. A little bit about the Ling Up Center. We are a 501c3 organization, so all donations are tax deductible. And because we believe so strongly in what we're doing, 100% of all donations go directly to the benefit of the kids. Nobody gets paid anything, and I even pay my own expenses when I go over there. So 100% can go to the kids. If you're interested, I did put some brochures that look like this at each of the entrances. In there, there's a little paragraph about the 5,000. In fact, there's even a picture of it, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, there is. There's a picture of the day the 5,000 kids were there. So there's that if you'd like it. And I also do these update letters once in a while, and I've put copies of that out there for you. People often ask me, they'll say, well, are the kids really grateful for everything that's been done for them? And my answer to that, the honest answer is yes and no. Yes and no. Not everybody can take the structure that we provide. So we don't, you know, not all of our kids make it. Little kids, they don't know what they don't know. So they don't know the big opportunity that they've been given. But what we have found is that when they come back, their gratitude is almost overwhelming. We have a, every year we do, it's called Honor Society and Homecoming. And this is where we celebrate everybody's academic success because we're really promoting education because that's the only hope they have. This one took place on May 28th, and about 15 or 20 of the original kids that were at the slaughterhouse came back to see us. And I'm going to tell you the truth, that was probably one of the most emotional days I've ever experienced. Their gratitude was almost overwhelming. One young man, his name is Vincent, came up to me and he just hugged me really big like this. And he backs off, he's crying. And he goes, does it again. And he backs off. And he does it again. Four times. And I said, got it, Vincent, we're good. You know, we're there, that's fine. And then he just backs off and he looks me in the eye and he says, but Tito John, you have to understand, without you, we're nothing. Boom. He was thanking me, but who he was really thanking was you. I mean, I can have all the great ideas in the world. I can come up with all these plans and ideas, but without you folks behind me, we can do nothing. The book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, and I quote, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And I'm here to tell you that the Ling Up kids are doing fine. They're doing really well, thanks to this project, thanks to you. But the one who has reaped a harvest is me. I have reaped a harvest far greater than anything I could have ever imagined. I'm always telling the kids that helping others is the greatest gift that you can give to yourself. And I'm living proof of that. What an honor this has been for me. And for that, I want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you very, very, very much.